It's Thursday Night Live, right? Mordecai Flosker.
Okay, thank you so much, Jake. in Chicago, this is Mordecai Flosker in Brooklyn, New York. Tonight's show is being broadcast live from East 23rd Street and Avenue P, because my wife is inside with the baby. So I'm outside in the car, and I hope everybody's in a good location to enjoy the show. Tonight's show we're going to try to recap many of the hot topics that we talked about over the past couple of days with regard to Shavuos. When I was combing through the Medrash Rabbah on Rus, I came across something years ago that is worth repeating tonight, and it speaks about Shidduchim. We all know that there is a crisis going on with regard to Shidduchim, but if everyone were to take a step back and listen to the words of the Eitz Yosef with regard to Boaz and Rus, maybe they would see something or think about things differently. It says that Boaz was a great tzaddik, and he was able to be kovesh his yitzra. He was able to withhold from being with Rus before, of course, the time was ready when he was able to get married to her. And so because Boaz was so strong, he was able to have a wife that was filled with chassidus and filled with, upstanding halachos. But it's interesting to note that Boaz came from Shevet Yehuda, and Yehuda was Gavar Be'echav. He was the strongest of the brothers, and the kingdom was given over to the Yotze Shevet Yehuda, that nothing will move away from Shevet Yehuda. And still, nevertheless, Lo Nimna Melisa Etzros. He nevertheless did not hold himself back from marrying a girl named Rus. Rus coming from the people of Moab, and obviously someone can say, Yechas, what am I supposed to do with this girl? She doesn't line up with my family. My family comes from greatness. We come from kings. And who does this girl come from? She comes from, Moavi, below Moavis. We have to learn a whole drash on this. Why can't it just be so simple? I just marry a girl who is similar to me in my own kingdom and in my own tribe, so to speak. But I think that the Torah is telling us something very powerful here, that we should not be thinking about things the way we unfortunately may do, but rather look at things through the lens of Boaz, because marrying a girl like Ruth ended up having Mashiach come from, obviously, David HaMelech. So there's a lot I wanted to just try to talk about tonight. And looking over Megillas Ruth through the lens of the Medrash Rabbah, it says, V'shem Ha'yish Elimelech, that the Medrash Rabbah brings down, that he used to say, Shehaya Omer Eli Tavo Malchus, that to me will come greatness. And then B'shem Yishto Naomi, he had a wife named Naomi, Shehaya Ma'asa Naim Un'imim, her actions were always pleasant and always beautiful. B'shem Shnei Bona of Machlon V'Kilion, the Medrash explains, Machlon Shenimchum Min Ha'olam, that Machlon was erased from the world, V'Kilion Shekalom Min Ha'olam, and Kilion was also, he destroyed his own world, because again, what happened was when they went down to Moab, they intermarried, and obviously all the things that happened to them and to Elimelech. But Reb Pinchas brings down that the crown that was given over from Yaakov to Ephraim at the time of Yaakov's death always stayed within Ephraim. And so when we look at this pasuk, we see in the beginning of Rus, it says that Rosh Shevet Rosh Yeshiva Hamula Meshubach, that's Ephraim, as it says, Ben Tochu Ben Tzuv Ephrasi, Yeravim Ben Avad Ephrasi, David Ben Ish Ephrasi, and Machlon V'Kilion Ephrasayim. So Ephraim, Haben Yakali Ephraim, Emiel Shashuim, that Klal Yisrael is referred to, that there's a semblance and a recognition and a symbolic connection to the Shevet of Ephraim. Some of the things that we spoke about the other night with regard to Rus, the beautiful attributes that she displayed with regard to not taking part or not eating from the fields in which she was harvesting all of this fruit And then she comes to the table of Boaz, and the Gemara brings down that even though we have many people sitting at our table, which one is more chaviv? Which one is more precious to the host? Is it the elderly? Is it the young? Is it the middle-aged? Is it two people? Is it women? Is it men? Which one is more chashav? And the answer is whoever is more hungry. Because whoever is more hungry is that person's maybe a little closer to death. And when that host gives the food out, then he brings back chias, he brings back the life. Of course, brings back that neshama that was lost. And so the host benefits most from that exchange. But there's a beautiful understanding with regard to Rus. We know that if there's an ani with regard to leket shicha and peah, that if with regard to ani, if somebody is a poor person, then they're allowed to take two bushels. If the balabas is taking all these bundles of wheat and he drops two bushels, then the people who are in the field, they can take they can take two bushels. So all of Rus's companions in that arena were all taking two bushels of wheat. However, when everyone retired back to their houses, Rus went out and then took a third. Why? Because the Gioras is allowed to take three bushels. And since Rus was a Gioras, and since because she was so sensitive to the other women, not wanting to make them feel uncomfortable, that they all were only allowed to take two, and she's allowed to take three, she did not take it in front of them. Boaz recognizes this, and he sees how sensitive she is, and this is what made Boaz love this woman, because of her incredible midos and her incredible attributes that she displayed by not embarrassing the other women and not taking from them so that they shouldn't feel lacking. I'm going through this as I'm looking through this this medrash. I see I only have like a few minutes left. I think I wanted to talk about a little bit about Sefer Bamidbar just for a moment, because Parshas Bamidbar is starting, and then of course Sefer Bamidbar is starting anew, and we're starting a new leaf that the Kedushas Levi brings down, that Bamidbar is a lashon of Bamidaber, of what comes out of your mouth. So Bamidbar, we know that in this Sefer we have the Meraglim speaking poorly, we have Miriam speaking poorly about our brother Moshe, and we have Korach speaking poorly about the authority that Moshe Rabbeinu has, that he was passed over. So there's a lot to talk about speech, and as the days get longer, there's more propensity for people to speak potentially inappropriately. But I think that Sefer Bamidbar, which speaks to Bamidaber, which is a new level. Beforehand, it was the Karbanos that were able to take us to another level. That's Sefer Vayikra. And now we're moving forward to Sefer Bamidbar. We have to keep in mind that Bamidaber is what comes out of our mouth. So for this, we have to be cognizant and we have to be careful to always try to do and say the right thing. The Kedushas Levi brings down that in the opening passage of this week's parsha, we have the names listed. And one would think that when the Imos were naming the children of Klal Yisrael, they were doing it for their own benefit. But rather, they were not doing it for their own benefit, explains the Kedushas Levi. They were doing it so that the name itself should be Emahulo L'Tishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, for example, like Yehuda, we know that that we have to give praise back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all the names that are associated, every single name that's named, one would think that Leah or Rachel were doing the naming just out of convention for their own glory and for their own perpetuity. These are the things that occurred to me. However, the understanding from the Chazal and from the Kedushas Levi is not such. It is speaking to the fact that a person has to recognize that each one of these names is a derivation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every single time a parent names a child, that's a chelek Hashem imal, that there's a certain siyata d'shmaya that goes into the naming of the child. And just to close out with one small thought with regard to the name of Yehuda and closing out on Parshas Bechukosai, which we didn't have the opportunity because we were so busy talking about Megillas Rus and Shavuos in general, there's a lot of unfortunate curses that are listed in the Chukosai, Parshas Bechukosai. And we don't really go into those curses because we try to stay away from them. However, if we count them up, we come to a number, like in Kisisa, roughly 100. And so how do we counter these things? How do we counter the negative and turn things into a positive? As I'll teach us that if we are careful to say modim every single day, then that is one way of saying mea brachas each day. Ma Hashem shalom imecha, diem liyiro so. This is what we're going to say in Parshas Ekev. What does Hashem request and desire from us? That we should try to come close to Him. And so this ma is really a language of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to say, don't read it ma, read it mea. Don't read it what does Hashem want, but rather that Hashem desires 100 brachas from us every single day in order that we should come close to Him. So if that's the case, that's the Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Ches, I believe, Mem Hey. I know it's in the Mems. But if that's the case, then how do we get to 100 brachos? Obviously, we have sittis and tefillin. But what about women? And what about Shabbos? What about Yontif when we have a limitation to how many brachos we can make? And women for surely can't reach 100 brachos if they're not putting on talis and tefillin, at least not over here, not where I know. That is not too common over here. But so how do we reach this 100 brachos? What are we supposed to do? So Dasakim Balitosis on this pasuk, which is in Perek Yud, I believe Pasuk Yud Beis, in Devarim, brings down that we say 100 brachas every single day. If we say 100 brachas every single day, and how do we do that? Through the words of Modim. Modim is Mem Vav Dalet is 50, Yud Mem is 50 is 100. So if you say Modim with Kavana during the Shliach Tzibur, a woman is in Shul, and men as well, if they're unable to make it to 100 blessings each day, if they say modim, which is just one simple paragraph, and they say it with kavana, with the full intent, then they have fulfilled their requirement of 100 blessings every single day. And so this is something we can take with us. And where do we see this understanding? We see by Bikurim also, by Bikurim we also have to enunciate these words. We cannot ask somebody to be yotze us with Bikurim, Arami Ovid Avi. Those are words that the Jewish person has to say. When it comes to modim, that's something that only you can say. Not your spouse, or not your best friend, not your husband. That's something that only you can say. So what is modim? It's showing appreciation. And what are we defined as? We come from Shevet Yehuda, perhaps. We come from all different Shvatim. But we are known as Yehudim. We're known as Jewish people. And the root word of Yehudi is to be makato. And so with that understanding, this is again, Shavuos, the beautiful time of the year. We bring in flowers to the shul to decorate and beautify the shul, and we learn. We stay up all night learning. And just a moment ago, I was getting a call from a rav, so it was a little bit distracting because he wants to know what time I'm speaking. The Shavuos, and I'm looking forward to doing that as well. This is a most auspicious time. Atad v'chatan mekal ha'amer hafta osana v'rotis l'bano. Atad v'chatan refers to Pesach. Ahavta Osano refers to Shavuos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does Hashem do when you love somebody? When you love somebody, you shower them with gifts. And the beautiful gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give the Jewish people and to be a beacon of light onto the world at large is, of course, the Torah. Where Tisa Banu refers to Sukkot, where Hashem acquiesced to us after all our shortcomings during the summer month. Hopefully we'll have a productive summer. That is the understanding of this beautiful Mizmor that we say in the Yontif liturgy. So I want to wish everyone Hatzlach and Brach in the learning. I want to wish everyone a beautiful Chag Shavuos and a wonderful Shabbos, Parshas Bamidbar. There's a wealth of information that we aren't able to reach or to get under undercover, so to speak, but there's a great deal of content that we did. And when I was looking through this metrics, I said, oh my goodness, I hit a lot of these themes that are found here in the Medrash, and what am I going to talk about tonight? But there's clearly plenty to speak about, there's plenty to learn. Shavuos is a time when we stay up all night learning. Why? Because we want to be proactively involved in the Kabbalah Satorah, and not merely sleeping through the night. I encourage everybody that if you're unable to stay up the whole night, then just try to stay up a little bit longer than average, just so you can say that you, of course, did your Shtadlus, and hopefully in that Tchus, we should only have a Surah Tovos and Nachas and good things for you, your families, your communities, and all of Klal Yisrael should be blessed with only good things. This is Mordechai Plotzko, Shema Tzlacha and Bracha, and of course, special thanks to Jake Wyman in Chicago, as well as Ari Perlman in New York. Have a great evening.